Okay, are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke, the fourth chapter, we're going to start in verse 17. We're continuing, and hopefully today we'll finish our little thing on the human factor. You know, and this all started back in Genesis 1, and I was so thrilled today because someone mentioned to me something about Genesis 1, so I know that they're thinking and I know they're listening. That's always encouraging to a preacher. And but we start in Genesis 1 where God created everything, and he created it void and empty. And that doesn't quite mean that. It means a little bit what we would say confused. And how we related that to is God created all the elements from which he was going to manufacture everything else. So on the first day, he made this, and the second day, he made something, and the third day, he made something, and on. But he made the elements at first. And Rabbi Lapkin, and I really think this is a good insight, he says, God created everything in chaos as a lesson to us that only God can bring order out of chaos. And we've been talking about how God has created us in his image, set us in the Garden of Eden so we could bring order to chaos, that we could plant the trees in a row, and we could harvest fruit and nuts, and we could create new plants if we needed them and all that. But God has created us to bring order to chaos. And we've gone through and looked at that in several different ways. So in Luke chapter 4, I want us to think about that as we begin to open up these scriptures. Luke 4:17, Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he said, "Well, Gordon, what does this have to do with bringing order to chaos?" Well, I'll tell you, if you're poor, your life is chaotic. If you are brokenhearted, your life is chaotic. If you are being held captive, your life is chaotic because you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what your captor is going to make you do or what he's going to give you to eat. Your life is out of control. If you're blind, there's chaos in your life. You can't order everything. If you're oppressed, you can't order everything. So Jesus is kind of pronouncing on this day, hey, if your life is messed up, I've got some good news for you. I can help you out of the mess that you're in. He's bringing order to chaos. Now you would think he's bringing good news, right? Everybody likes good news, right? We all like to have good news. If someone would say, I just put $1 million in your bank account, that's good news. We'd be happy about it, wouldn't we? You wouldn't do anything nasty to that person, would you? If they put $1 million, you wouldn't go out and badmouth them. They only put $1 million. They should have put $2 million or $1,001,000. No, you're grateful, right? So good news is generally a good thing. In verse 20, it says, Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. I'll give you a little insight. I just read this the other day. When in Jewish understanding, when you sit down, you're ready to teach. The audience stood while the teacher sat. So when it says he sat down, Jesus has read the scripture. He sits down. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm going back to my seat and sitting down. They had given him the opportunity to teach. He reads the scripture, and then he sits down. And now he's preparing to teach. Now he's preparing to expound on what he has just read. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Everybody's watching to see what Jesus is going to say. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, he's bringing good news. He said, I'm going to do all these things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm about ready to do all these things, and it's fulfilled in your hearing. Well, everybody likes good news. It sounds great. Sounds wonderful. Everybody marvels at the messenger. Their eyes were all on Jesus. What's he going to say? What kind of insight? What kind of new understanding is Jesus going to give us on this? Well, Hebrews 4:12, I'll just read it to you, says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, Jesus had just told them, this good news is fulfilled, made manifest, or made complete in your hearing. Now, Jesus also said in several other places in Scripture, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just hearing, but it's how you hear. It's how we receive what we're about to hear. In Luke 8:18, Jesus said, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. According to how we hear, what you have will be increased. But if you don't hear properly, even the things you think that you have will be taken away from you. It's very, very important that we hear and hear correctly. Now, we're talking about good news. Good news is coming. Amen? Jesus is bringing the gospel, or the good news, to us. 8 times in the book of Revelation, Jesus tells John, at the end of the letters to the churches in one other place, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Let's hear what God has to say. Not just, oh, let's just hear the thoughts of a man. Let's hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Again, how you hear is more important than just hearing. You've got to have a right heart to hear. And so Jesus is now getting ready to teach. And let's jump down to Luke 4:24. He says, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, why are they filled with wrath? You got to understand what Jesus is just saying. We read this, and we're Gentiles. We're outsiders. We read this, and, well, Jesus went to the widow in Sidon. He healed the Syrian. What's the big deal? The big deal was a prophet is without honor in his own land. So Israel was known for killing the prophets of God. Israel was known for their rebellion to the prophets of God. And Jesus is reminding of this. And as an example, in the days of Elijah, no Jewish widow was taken care of. But here was this woman in Sidon, and God sent the prophet to her in a time of famine. There's other widows that are in trouble. Why didn't he help his own kind? Because God sent him to this widow in Sidon. Jesus is saying, if you don't honor the prophet, you won't get any benefit. And then he goes on, you know, there's Elisha had a great ministry. Elisha is the greatest prophet. Well, Elijah and Elisha both are considered the two greatest prophets in Israel. And yet, no leper was healed. No leper was cleansed in Israel in the days of Elijah. Only this heathen, only this Syrian, only this Gentile, this non-believer, God healed him of leprosy. What he's telling the people is, if you don't hear right, you're going to get nothing. And God will go outside of the Jewish people in order to do what God wants done. And although you hear, you're not really going to hear. And when they heard this, they were filled with wrath. How dare you say, we're the chosen ones. We're the people of God. We've been picked out. How dare you say, we don't get it. So they're mad at the messenger. You know, they were all amazed at Jesus. They're all thrilled with him. What's he got to say? And then they were filled with wrath. And verse 29 says, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff. And then passing through the midst of them, Jesus went on his way. They were so upset at what Jesus said, they wanted to kill him. It wasn't his time, and so they weren't able to do it. Now, think about this. Put all this together. John the Baptist preached that to be baptized for the remission of sins. John warned the Jews to not hide behind their Jewish ancestry, saying, God is able to raise up children to Abraham even from these stones. John the Baptist warned them that even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, Yahweh's word is his axe. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And how you hear the word of God will decide whether you get more or whether what you have is going to be taken from you. This is serious stuff. We say, well, it's up to God, whatever God wills. No, it's up to our believing. It's up to our hearing. It's up to how we respond to the word of God. The Bible talks about Jesus going into the cities and sometimes he couldn't heal anybody because they didn't listen. Now, they wanted to throw him over the cliff. They were so upset at what Jesus said. One moment they're, well, we really want to hear what this young man has to say. And the next minute, they want to throw him off the face of the cliff. They want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. Now, we all like an easy word, don't we? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we love that word. And it's the word of God. We love that word. It's so wonderful. But we bristle when Jesus tells us, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We don't like that word. That means I've got to die if I'm going to get the blessings of God. But they're both the words of God. If you got a heavy burden, if you're going through trouble in life, Jesus has the answer. He says, come unto me. But we come unto Jesus once and we think that's it. We confess Jesus once in church. Oh, Lord, I accept you. I believe you. Well, what about the rest of your life? You know, there's an old saying that says, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And a lot of us, we're living double lives. Come to church, Jesus is Lord, I believe in him. And as soon as we walk out the door, we've got different lords dominating our life, taking control over things. In Luke 4, Jesus raises the question, will somebody believe? Will somebody believe? I'm bringing good news to you. Will you believe what I'm telling you? Will you believe that if you trust in me, if you give me all, will you believe that I'll open prison doors? Do you believe I'll give sight to the blind? Do you believe I've got good news for the poor? Do you believe these things? Do you believe it's the acceptable year of the Lord, that all things are coming back to God? Do you really believe that? Jesus is raising the question, will somebody believe? And the Jews that heard him chose to not believe. They were going to kill him. They were going to throw the Son of God. Now, I was told one time, years ago, because we had some problems in church, and I was told one time, if you were really a man of God, none of these problems would ever happen. I want to hear you say that to Jesus. I mean, he gets up and preaches a message. It's a positive message. It's good news. It's a favorable thing. And they wanted to kill him for it. So, Jesus was without sin. So where did all this bitterness and this hatred for Jesus come up from? It had to come up from within them. It had to come from who they were. It had to come that they had already rejected the word of God, and they now were not going to bow their knee to the word of God. They weren't going to yield. They weren't going to submit it. No. This is too much. You can't say that. It's wrong for you to say that God will go outside the Jewish family and bless other people. But he did. We're testimony to that. Has God rejected the Jews? No. Because it's not based on whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish. It's based on whether you will hear the word of God, whether you will respond to it. This is a radical concept. Today, more people in America believe in ghosts and believe in aliens than believe the Yahweh of the Bible. On surveys, do you believe the Bible is the word of God? Maybe about 46%, something like that. Do you believe in ghosts? Oh, about 80, 90% of people believe in ghosts. Do you believe in aliens? About 75 to 80% of people believe in aliens. Do you believe in the Yahweh of the Bible? Well, I just don't really like that. I don't know how a loving God could say the things that he said in the Bible. He said it because he loves you. He said it because he came to help you, but if you reject that help, he's saying this is the alternative. I set before you this day life and death, therefore choose. If you choose life, you'll live. If you choose death, guess what? You're going to get the benefit of what you yield your life to. And so here's this separation point. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the revealed word of God. It comes by not hearing someone preach, but hearing the revelation that God has in his word, which is his heartfelt love for you and what God has planned for your life. Go with me to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Matthew 13, 53. It says, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. Just because you know the guy's parents? Just because you know where he came from? You're offended at him? No, it was much more than that. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now get this, verse 58. Now Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Even Jesus could not overcome their unbelief. He wanted to. He didn't go back to judge them. He didn't go back to condemn them. He didn't go back to make them feel bad. He came to help them, but they were offended at him. They chose to not believe what God has said. They chose to not believe that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. They chose to not believe the promises of God. Now, go with me to Matthew 8. It's not too far from there. In contrast to this, you have the centurion. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says, the centurion answered, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Wow, that'd be wonderful. Have Jesus in your house? Sure, if you want to come on ahead. But listen, that's not what the centurion said. He said, the centurion in answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Think about it. All these people we've read about, they wanted to cast Jesus over a cliff. They were offended at him. And here comes this non-Jew, this outsider, and Jesus is marveling at his faith. He says, I haven't found this great faith, not even in Israel, not among the people of God that ought to be the believers. They ought to be the champions in believing. They ought to have the gold, the silver, and the bronze medal in believing. This is the people of God. They know the scriptures. They've studied the scriptures. They've had the prophets come to them for 1,000 years. And yet Jesus says to this outsider, I've not found this kind of faith, not in all of Israel. And it's because the centurion understood authority. Now catch this. When you understand authority, Jesus doesn't have to be physically present. You don't have to feel anything. Some people say, oh, I know God was here this morning. How'd you know? Man, I felt his presence. Can I talk with you? I don't care if you don't feel anything, God is present. Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But I didn't feel anything today. That's your problem. You're not looking for Jesus. You're looking for feeling. You're looking for something to, in the flesh, to make you think of Jesus. Now, we all go, yeah, that's true. We need. Now, think about your healing. When you get prayed for healing, what's the first thing you do? You check yourself out, don't you? Well, it's natural. But you check yourself out. Why? Because you don't believe. You want to. Lord, help my unbelief. But it's the same thing. With your healing from God doesn't depend on how you feel. Because some people have walked away and they've been prayed for, and they walk, I don't feel any different. And then 5 minutes later, the pain comes back. It was all gone. 5 minutes later, the pain comes back. Well, I guess it didn't work. Let it be to you according to your faith. The centurion had to believe the word of God all the way home. Do you know, sometimes it's hard for us to accept what God says between the time you leave church and by the time you drive to your house. You can lose faith that quickly. The centurion had to walk all the way home, and all the time someone's whispering in his ear, do you think it really worked? I think the servant will be dead by the time we get home. Don't you think he'll be dead? Man, I mean, he's really serious. Do you really understand how serious he is? I mean, boy, I hope he's, maybe they were more hopeful. Boy, I hope he's still alive when we get home. You know, I'm being really helpful. Boy, I sure hope that what Jesus said comes to pass because I'm a believer. We have all these little excuses built into us. But Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life. All I need is a word. All I need is to hear God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All I need to do is hear God. And when I hear God say, my child, you are forgiven, I know I'm free from sin. When I hear God tell me, you are healed, I'm free. Whether I feel anything or not. Because sometimes I don't feel forgiven. And sometimes I have to go back to God and say, I'm forgiven, right? He goes, yeah, okay, just checking. And sometimes we may have to go back to God. Now, I am healed, right? Yeah, you're healed. Okay, just checking. I just want to be sure nothing's changed. But God, see, God doesn't change. See, it's trusting in the authority of God. We heard a minister the other night. It was so funny because this guy's straightforward. I mean, he has been healed. Him and his wife have both been healed literally off their deathbeds. They were both given the death sentence, and God healed both of them. And he said he just believed God in spite of the doctor's reports, in spite of everything else. And he says, this will shock you because it's a hard one. He says, the most stupid prayer in the world is to pray for God to heal you. I'm thinking, huh? He says, God healed you 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, you were healed. So to ask God to do something now, and we do it out of ignorance. We don't do it trying to offend God. But so often, we find people praying, oh, I'm praying for God to heal me. Next week, I'm praying for God to heal me. Next week, I'm praying for God to heal me. Well, are you saved? Okay, now next week, are you still going to be saved? How about the week after that? Are you still saved? Were you saved last Sunday? Yeah. Were you saved Monday? Mm-hmm. Saved Tuesday? Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? How about Thursday? Were you saved Thursday? Yeah, okay. I'm just checking now. But think about it with healing. You were healed 2,000 years ago. And it's not just, do I ache or not? You were healed 2,000 years ago. See, in God's understanding, it's a done deal. To ask him to do it again when he's already done it is to not believe he did it 2,000 years ago. You're already healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's just you've got to receive it. Thank you, God, I am healed. Thank you, Father. You've already sent your word and healed me. The centurion understood authority. Just speak your word. I don't need you to come to my house. I don't need a feeling. I don't need an experience. I need to know what God has said. And if God has said, I am healed, I am healed. End of debate. End of questionings. Do I hurt a little bit? Yeah, it may hurt a little bit. I'll tell you this story. We had a good friend in Ohio. I got to lead him to the Lord. And It was so funny because we had met previously and he had no respect for preachers or anything else, and he did several things just to see how I would react, and I didn't react. So he got into a bad, bad accident, and his leg was shattered. He was swinging on a rope off of a cliff, and the rope entangled him, and he dropped into the rocks below, and his leg was literally shattered. They were talking, if it didn't start to heal in 6 weeks, they would have to amputate the leg. 32 bone fragments in his leg. The people, his friends that attended our church, came in and said, "You've got to go see Larry." And he's been here in our church. He said, you've got to go see Larry. I said, "Well, why?" "He had an accident. You need to go see him." So I walk in, and the first words out of his mouth, "God told me if you pray for me, he'll heal me." Well, usually I have to go in and tell people, do you know God loves you? "Yeah, I know God loves me." "Do you know that God wants the very best for your life?" "I sure hope he does." Do you believe that God would heal you?" I'm hoping so, the doctors say." You know, and it's like his first words, literally. I mean, he didn't say hello or anything. He said, "God told me if you pray for me, he'll heal me." I didn't have to do any teaching. I didn't have to do any encouragement. I didn't have to build him up. He understood what God had said to him. I just laid hands on him and prayed. I didn't feel anything. I don't know if he felt anything. But in 6 weeks, he walked out of the hospital without crutches. Walked out. They were talking about in 6 weeks, if he didn't begin to heal, they would amputate the leg. In 6 weeks, he walked out. Now, the amazing thing, because several months later, he's still walking with a limp because he's favoring the leg. And I said, "Larry, I thought God healed you." "He did." I said, "Why are you limping?" "I don't know." I said, does it hurt to walk upright?" "I don't know." And he started walking upright. "No, it doesn't hurt at all." He started walking straight. Now, the reason he limped was because he was favoring the leg. Not that it hurt. It wasn't a physical problem. It was a mental problem. He favored the leg because, well, you know, it was broken. Yeah, it was. It was shattered. It was more than broken. He had a gap of an inch and a half in his small bone right down here. They had a metal brace in it to hold it into place. They said that'll probably never heal. They took an x-ray one day. It showed an inch and a half gap. Literally, within 2 days, no longer than 48 hours, they took another x-ray and that bone was completely replaced. I mean, it's like, "Boy, Gordon, you've really got a healing anointing." No, I have a good God. See, it's God. It's God that does the healing. The Bible says if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So if I lay hands on you, you will recover. Amen? You will recover. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will recover. Why? I obeyed the Bible. I laid hands on you. God's the healer, and he'll do the work. He'll use any vessel that makes themselves willing and obedient to God. Amen? Now, when he says, "I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel," this is how we would interpret that today. "I have not found such great faith, not even in the church." You know? I mean, aren't we God's chosen now? Doesn't God dwell in us? Aren't we born again? We've got a better covenant than Abraham. He knew, he had the anointing on him. Moses had the anointing on him, but we've got the anointer living in us. We've got a well that never runs dry. We've got the mighty one, the almighty, the creator of heaven and earth living in us. Boy, I sure hope this prayer works. Huh? I haven't found great faith. Like with Larry, I think about him. I think about Emmanuel Wintrow because, man, these guys had great faith. I mean, they were just simple people. They hadn't studied the Bible, but they both had an encounter with God. And God changed their life because they just took God at their will. I don't have time to go through all of the things that Emmanuel went through and what God did for him. A lot of you have heard it before, but I mean, it's just fantastic what God does. See, we're called believers. We're called followers. We're called disciples. Signs should follow us. Jesus said, "A wicked generation seeks after signs." Am I healed? How do I feel? Am I still saved today? You know, it's like, well, wicked. I could be biblical. I'd just call you wicked. Why? You're looking for a sign. What sign did the centurion have? Absolutely none. How did he get his servant healed? He believed Jesus. Just give me your word. I understand authority. Your words carry weight. We believe, therefore we speak. You speak what you believe. Lord, I know I just got prayed for. Boy, I sure hope it works. Well, I hope it does too. But there's no faith and hope. I'm talking to myself here. I deal with things. But there's no faith in hope. Hope is wishing. Hope is desiring. It's like, but somebody believe. Somebody take Jesus at his word. Somebody just have the bold-faced guts. God, I'm going to believe what you say regardless of anybody else. You can go to the doctor and say, I'm believing for a good report. Well, you can have a good report and die. There's been people who have gone to the doctors for a heart stress exam, and they said, man, you are in perfect health. You've got a long time, and before they leave the doctor's office, they will have a heart attack and sometimes even die in the doctor's office. They got a good report. You don't need a good report. You need to be healed. You need to be healthy. You need to be strong. I don't care what the doctor's report says. You need to listen to the report of Jesus Christ. He is the healer, and he knows what you need and is able to do it and even more than what you can think, ask, or imagine. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians. See, this is a human element. Somebody has to take Yahweh at his word. Somebody has to believe. In 2 Corinthians 4:11, and I'm going to read 13 and 14, it says, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. He said, we've got the same spirit. We have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit as who? As Jesus? You have faith. You need to release it. You need to just believe. So, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. I haven't studied the Bible. Faith doesn't come in from studying the Bible. Well, I haven't been in church. Faith doesn't come from being in church. Well, I haven't been good enough lately. Faith doesn't come from being good. Faith comes from believing God. Faith comes from hearing God. There's another story. Go to where is it now? Go to Matthew chapter 9. Here's another story. I love this one too. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It says, while Jesus spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him. See, Jesus was sitting. He was teaching. He was sitting, so he arose up. He arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, remember, I believe, therefore I speak. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. We'll go to church today and say, Lord, hope there's a healing line. Hope you show up. I hope I can get my healing. No, she says, if I touch the hem of his garment. She made a way when everybody else wasn't doing anything. Everybody's walking with Jesus to see the show. He's going to Jairus' house. Oh, we're going to see a miracle now. Hallelujah. Boy, we're going to watch Jesus in action. She wasn't worried about watching Jesus in action. She had her mind set, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She had a tangible thing. She set her faith on it, not hope. If I touch the hem of his garment, I hope I'll be healed. No, I shall be healed. She was determined. She was set. And she got up and she grabbed the hold of his garment. Now the Jewish prayer shawl, which Jesus wore at the time, has tassels on it. And those tassels are called wings. And the corners are called wings, and the tassels are on the corner. And the Isaiah says there is healing in his wings. She didn't come up and touch just a jacket. She grabbed hold, a lot of people believe, she grabbed hold of the tassel. Because there's healing in his wings. And when she grabbed hold, Jesus stopped everybody. This is over in Luke. But he stopped everybody and says, who touched me? Nobody knew. The disciples said, Jesus, we're walking in a crowd here. Everyone's pressing up. We're all bumping each other. No, I felt virtue come out of me. Who touched me? And the woman in the Luke gospel says she was afraid. She had been caught. She had been found out. Now this is important. In the crowd, she could be stoned to death for being in public with an issue of blood. This had been going on for 12 years. She's probably anemic, probably doesn't have a whole lot of strength, but she determined, I'm going to get through that crowd. I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to touch the wing of his garment, and I'm going to be healed. She's caught. Luke says she gave her testimony. It's me. That's when they found out everything. Jesus said to her, go your way, you're healed. Now, Woody talked about testimony. Can anybody in here tell me what Woody said about a testimony? It's a test. Debbie's talked about it. This is why we're taking testimonies on Sunday morning, not just praises, but testimonies. A testimony says is evidence that if God did it once, he'll do it again. She gave a testimony. Meaning if somebody else will have the courage, have the faith to press through the obstacles between you and your healing, and you get a hold of Jesus, it'll work for you. You don't have to feel anything. I don't know whether she felt anything except just, well, she felt she was healed. I mean, it was just an instantaneous thing. It's like, ooh, it's me. But she didn't, you know, I'm sure she didn't, ooh, touch. Well, touch again. Touch again. Maybe I need to hold on for 5 seconds instead of two. It's like, no. She touched the hem of his garment. Virtue flowed out of Jesus as soon as she touched his garment. And she was healed immediately. The Bible says her blood flow dried up. It just quit. See, she took it. She took Jesus by surprise. Jesus is on a mission. He's not even thinking about her. He's not even thinking about anybody coming. He was shocked. Who touched me? Somebody touched me. Oh, Jesus, there's a whole crowd. Virtue went out of me. He knew somebody got a hold of him by faith, and he couldn't let the moment pass. When you come to Jesus with faith, he will not let the moment pass. He will do what he said he will do, even if you're not even on his mind. You can get healed just by grabbing hold of Jesus. Isn't that good news? See, this is the human factor. Jesus said to the woman, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. She had tried everything and everything failed, but she believed Jesus. Now, where are you? Maybe you've tried everything. Maybe you've been in church for 40 years. Maybe you've done everything. You say, I've done it all and nothing has worked. Believe Jesus. But I'm at my wit's end. I don't know one more thing to believe Jesus. It doesn't matter how long. See, I love one of the things I love this story. For 12 years, she dealt with this issue. And sometimes we get it in our mind, you know, I've been this way for so long, nothing can change it now. Jesus can. I love this story. There was a kid on TV, this is probably about 25 years ago. He had an eye missing. And he was born without an eye. I love this story. And he could see out of the eye where there wasn't an eye. Not even an eyeball. I mean, the socket was all dried up. And he said, what happened? He said, well, I went forward in a prayer line one night, and the preacher, whoever it was, I don't even know who it was, came up to him and said, what do you want? He said, I want to be able to see. So the preacher just laid hands on him and prayed for him, for his sight to be restored. He didn't pray for a new eyeball. He just prayed for him to see. So literally, they can cover up the good eye and he can read. Wow. Well, this is too much for God. Do you know seeing is spiritual? Yeah. Hearing can be a spiritual issue. It's like we need to believe God. Yeah. He can do more than you can think, ask, or imagine. Little children, it's hard. It's easy for little children to believe. Man, we play make believe all the time. I'm still in that category. We love to imagine. We can imagine all kinds of scenarios. We can imagine, but when you get up, you start drying up. When you grow up, you start drying up and you lose your imagination. You lose your capacity to believe. Jesus said, you must come unto me as little children with the capacity to believe. Jesus will do the rest. I can't heal myself, but Jesus can heal me. I can't make myself whole, but Jesus can. I can't save me, but Jesus did. Amen? Let's stand up. Somebody needs to believe. Somebody needs to take Jesus at his word. Somebody needs to just say, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be determined. I am going to believe God. Just because it's been a while doesn't mean it's over. I'm going to believe God. If you want healing this morning, I want to ask you to come forward. If you need something in your life, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Because we're going to pray, I'm going to lay hands, and God's going to heal. Amen? This is the gospel. This is the good news. Well, I've been prayed for by the best. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, I've had people with more faith than you pray. Probably. It doesn't matter. Because see, I'm not the healer. And anybody who is a healer, they'll tell you they're not the healer. God's the healer. We're just going to be obedient. Amen? We're going to be obedient, and God's going to do his part, and God will heal. Amen? Now, I'm not going to take a long time. I'm not going to just spend 5 hours over everyone. We're going to pray, lay hands on the sick. I think about Jesus' meetings when he healed the multitudes. That's thousands. If we did it the way that so many people pray today, it would take us a week to get through. In Haiti, when you have a healing service or a healing line, people come up and they're just grabbing them by the hand, pulling them through. Because you can be there for all night long. And it's just like, it's not how long you pray, it's that you pray. It's not how long you believe. The woman with the issue of blood only believed until she touched the garment. You know, this is curious. I say that and you go, well, I need to believe afterwards. No, no. The Bible says if you have what you've asked for, you don't need to believe for it anymore. If I'm believing for a new car and I get the new car, I don't have to keep believing God for a new car. I've got the new car. When the prayer is answered, I don't have to believe anymore because I have the things I've prayed for. Amen? I have it. And you're going to get it today. Amen. You're going to get the healing today. This day, you're going to be healed. This day, God is going to touch you. This day is a new day. Amen, 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 amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command these ears to open up in Jesus' name for hearing to be restored in Jesus' name. What do you need? Okay, Father, we come for Dell's body. And Father, we speak to that spirit of diabetes and we cast you out. We command you take your hold off of him. We speak to his body to operate and function properly and normally in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we rebuke fear. We rebuke all those things that come against him in Jesus' name. And we command be whole, be healed, and operate and function properly in Jesus' mighty name. Still have the infection? Is that the thing or something else? Okay. Just asking.
There's a lot of things. Well, there's the diabetes.
And okay.
I was in a state of acidosis.
Okay.
Part of my problem, I've just found out.
Okay. Is that just the chemicals are off in your body?
pH and everything.
Okay.
It was severe.
Okay. Yeah, I could just imagine how I could throw things off. Lord, we pray for her to be balanced. And oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray and command this body, Father, in Jesus' name, to come into line. Father, all those things are thrown it out of effect. In Jesus' name, we rebuke those in Jesus' name. We speak to this body from the top of its head to the soles of the feet, every organ, every tissue, to come into line in Jesus' name. That there's no need of medication. There's no need, Father, for supplements. But in Jesus' name, be made whole. Amen. 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 For you, sir. Back or? You just came out to get blessed.
My eyes twitching.
Oh, really?
It's been twitching for months.
Dry eye?
It's twitching.
Huh. Okay. Praise God. Well, Father, we just command Jeff's body, Father, for the muscles to relax in Jesus' name. We command, Father, the tightness to go in Jesus' name. Command, Father, for the spine to align itself in Jesus' name. We command, Father, for his eye to stop twitching. Father, we just thank you that Jeff is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of diabetes in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. You already healed her. We thank you, Lord, she is already free. And Lord, I thank you that she's come up to touch the hem of your garment. And Father, I thank you now that she is healed. Father, we speak to every organ to come into line, to operate and function properly in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your healing, your work in her now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for to gird up her mind, Father, to not accept the junk that people try to put on her. But Father, she'll receive the report of the Lord, and it says she's whole in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
When I stand for a long time, my left leg goes numb.
Okay.
I figure it's probably a nerve.
Yeah, something. Just something getting pinched, maybe. Okay, well, unpinch. Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak to Roxanne's body. Father, we command that whatever's putting pressure on that nerve, Father, to be released in the name of Jesus. For any swelling, Lord, to go away in Jesus' name. Father, we just speak, Father, that she'll have full operation of her body in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
What do you need?
Thank you. Eyes won't quit watering since February.
Okay. You have to use dry eye and all that stuff?
No.
Or no, they won't quit watering.
Yeah, they won't quit.
So. Okay. Okay. Gee, I haven't heard of that one. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for her eyes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, that you will cause them to not water excessively, but to water properly in the name of Jesus. Father, we release, Lord, your anointing in her body in Jesus' name to bring everything in order and to make it right in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen, 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 amen. Okay. That's not a good thing.
No.
Do they know why, or if you're still making tests? See if you have one, huh? Father, Lord, we lift Hannah up to you. Father, we speak to whatever is causing the blackouts, Lord, to be gone. Father, we rebuke every spirit that would be causing her difficulty in Jesus' name. We speak liberty to the captive in Jesus' name. Father, make her whole, spirit, soul, and body. Cause her brain, Father, to function properly. Father, that the blood would flow to where it needs to flow. And Father, again, whatever physically or spiritually, Father, in Jesus' name, you set it right. Set it right in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. You spirit of epilepsy, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Go. In Jesus' name.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Go. Jesus' name. You're with her. And what? Okay. You want full strength, huh? Praise you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that Tom was healed 2,000 years ago. We thank you, Father, for your deliverance. We thank you, Father. Or we sometimes say, I believe, just help my unbelief. Well, God, that's an opening. And Father, you take advantage of that opening. Father, in Jesus' name, we speak to Tom's eyes, Lord, that they would be free of disease. that they would see clearly, that you would restore vision to him, yes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we speak wholeness to those eyes. We speak soundness to them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we thank you, God. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank
you. Praise you, Jesus. You know, one of the things, when you read the scriptures about healing, it talks about they went away praising God. And that is so crucial. Because if you're healed, you're grateful. If you go to a doctor and they give you a prescription, you take the prescription, and then you're grateful to the doctor, and you tell everybody, he's a good doctor. You know, well, Jesus is a good doctor. Amen. He's a good doctor. So we need to just praise God. I want to take a minute to do that. Just praise God that you are healed. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now, God. There's healing in the house. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We are the healed. We are redeemed of the curse. Father, we thank you, God. We are free of all the junk that the world wants to put on us. We are free because we are the sons of liberty. We are the sons of and children of Almighty God, Father. And you have broken the curse against us and redeemed us from every curse in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, God. We're forgiven. We're curse-free. We're healed. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we give you the praise for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.